Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Praise the Lord, everybody. Thank God for another day, a beautiful, blessed day that He has made. Let us all be thankful. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Praise the Lord, everybody. It's a wonderful, beautiful day in Jesus. We hope that you feel the same. We're here to praise His holy name, to lift Him up, to magnify Jesus. Amen. Lord, we thank Him for all He's done and all He's doing and all He's going to do. He's worthy of the honor. He's worthy of the praise. We just lift Him up. We're here to share word with you, pray for you, and go through with whatever it is that you're dealing with in the Word of God, that it might enlighten you, that it might help you, comfort you, keep you, guide you, and direct you. So we pray that the word that will be spoken, that will impact you, that will cause you to look in the mirror and look at yourself and see what it is that you need from the Lord, what you desire, and where in your life where you stand right now and where you feel like you need a change, you need to move forward, and that you're not satisfied with yourself for where you are and what's going on in your life. So we thank God today for all the opportunity that He's given us to be able to come here and be able to share a word over these airwaves with each and every one that would tune in and listening. And I thank the Lord for you all that I've come in contact with, conversated with, how you let me know about the broadcast and how well it's impacting your life. We thank you for that, and we appreciate that, and we pray that you continue listening and that you share with someone else. Share with someone else about the love of Jesus and all that He's done for you and what He's done for me, as I will testify to. So we want to go into prayer. Again, we're praying for those that are in bereavement, that have lost and going through how to deal with that separation from that son, that daughter, husband, that wife, niece, nephew, grandchild, whomever it may be. And so we send these prayers out to you, all of you, everyone. And we pray that God would continue to comfort and keep you. For you have to trust Him at His word. And He said that He will always be there. He will never leave you nor forsake you. We need your spirit, Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you right now. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you thanksgiving. Father, we need you to come into our lives. We need you to help us, strengthen us, guide us, direct us, keep us. We know that you understand us. You know who we are. You made us from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet, Father. You know everything about us. You know what's in our hearts. You know what's in our minds. You know our thinking. You know what we're going to do before we do it. You know our futures. You know our past. You know our present. Father, but we humble ourselves before you. And we cry out to you today for the one that is mourning, for the one that may be mixed up, for the one that may be confused, for the one that may be wrapped up, tied up, tangled up, twisted up in their addictions. Father, we thank you. We thank you right now, Jesus. We want to praise you for all you've done, for all you're doing, for all you're going to do. We magnify your holy name, Jesus. Lord, we need you more and more and more each day. More, more for guidance, more for direction, more for understanding, more for healing and deliverance. Father, we need you right now. We need you more so, Father, with all the chaos, with all the disturbances, with all the confusion, Father, with all the misunderstanding, with all the hate, with all the bitterness, with all the unforgiveness in the hearts of men. Father, they need your love and kindness, which you've already given, and you continue to give. Father, now it's up to us to give back. give back to you to turn. Turn from the wicked ways. Turn from wicked ways. Call on you. Repent. Ask for forgiveness. Give us direction. Understanding. Oh God, we thank you. Oh, we thank you right now, Jesus. We thank you right now, Jesus. We thank you right now, Jesus. Lord, let your Holy Spirit come. Let your Holy Spirit come. Let it fall fresh on us right now. We need you. We understand, Father, that it's our choice, the decision that we need to make, the decision that we need so that we can move forward. Father, we don't know what to do. Sometimes we are even lost in our decision making. And Father, that's why we have to acknowledge you in all our ways, that you might direct our paths. Father, touch right now. Touch right now, Jesus. Father, so many people are experiencing difficulties in their life with sickness and illnesses. And a lot of them, Father, are relying on painkillers, the medications. These drugs are addictive out here, Father. Help them to know, Father, that you are able to heal their body through the natural resources of which you created the body. But Father, they have to believe, they have to trust in you. Father, not be drawn into the corruptible things in this world. That this sinful nature, this flesh, is drawn to those things. Father, we thank you right now. Father, we thank you right now. We pray that your Holy Spirit would come and fall upon us right now. Fall fresh. Renew the right spirit within us. Father, that we may acknowledge you in all our ways and that you may direct our path. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your love. Woo! Thank you for the love. Thank you for the love that you've given us. Thank you for the love you give us. Thank you for the love because you died for us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you right now. Lord, send your Holy Spirit to break yokes. Tear down these walls of disruption, destruction, division, and separation. In the name of Jesus, Father. Father, send your healing and your comfort to your people, your children. Father, for the love that you have for us. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, right now. Somebody out there needs you right now. Somebody may not even know how to express in words, Father, what they need from you, how to ask you. Father, in the name of Jesus, touch right now in Jesus' name. Father, we praise you. Father, we lift you up. We thank you right now, Jesus. Give you the glory. In Jesus' name, we thank you. We praise you forevermore. And we say amen and amen. Lord, we thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for another wonderful day. Beautiful day that you have made. We give you honor, we give you glory, we give you thanksgiving. Today, brothers and sisters, we want to talk to you in your hearing today from a subject that is so common and plain, but we want to bring it out in this manner that you might think about this. With everything that's going on today, with all of the stuff that's happening in the world today, sometimes we have to stop. Stop, look, and listen. Pay attention to what the voice of the Lord is saying. Father, we thank you today, Father, that you would touch and you, by your anointing, Father, you would guide me, that you would speak and your Holy Spirit would speak through me, Father. That they don't hear my voice, but hear your voice through my voice. That they would have an ear to hear what the Spirit has to say to them, to the church, to the physical body, the house, the temple of God that you created. We thank you right now. We glorify your holy name in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. But the message I want to talk to you about today, I want to ask this question, just putting it out there. It's been said many times before. It's been talked about in many different ways. But this question says, what manner of love is this? What manner of love is this? That Jesus would lay down his life for the likes of us. For the likes of us, when we're hard-headed, stiff-necked, disobedient, unruly, unthankful, ungrateful. But yet, this love that he has for us is so great, it's so enormous, that there's hardly any word in the vocabulary or the dictionary or the encyclopedia to put on it. But as we look at this in St. John, chapter 15, beginning at verse 11, and it tells us this. It says, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. The 13th verse is the key verse here. Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. For his friends. Why do Jesus call us friends now? He says this. He said, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. He said, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You. And then he says, here is the deal. People always trying to say things in cliches, but misunderstand. But look what Jesus says here in verse 16. You did not choose me. He said, I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Love one another. Love one another. What's happening to the love? Where is it? The love to love you one another. We talk about it. Sing about it. Write about it. But how much of it are we being about it? How much of it is action, very active in our lives, that we love one another? As I mentioned to the young people in the homegoing service, to the young man, it is time to share love, stop destroying each other. Practice love, walk love, teach love, talk love. Live love. It ain't enough to make these songs that they put out secularly. They talk about love, but they don't understand what love is because they got the L's mixed up. The love that they talk about in the secular music is about lust. But the love that I'm talking about is the one like in St. John, chapter 3 and verse 16. The sacrificial love. The love that you would share by giving your life. Willing to give your life for the right cause and reason. And it tells us, we all know how to quote it, for God so loved the world that he gave himself, his son, his only begotten son. that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But God did not, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Might be saved. That we won't be lost. That we can live eternally in love, peace, and happiness forever. But the devil has let loose a disguise, a camouflage, if you will, deceptive devices, and causing people to be confused and mixed up because he appeals to the weakness of your fleshly desires. And when he appeals to these desires where you're weakened at, and he is able to accomplish what he set out to do. But when you allow Jesus and the Holy Spirit to take over in your life, then the power of God will lead you and guide you and keep you through all things. Here in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, question I asked you in the beginning. 1 John chapter 3 and 1, he says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." It's time to make a decision, people, brothers and sisters. It's time to stop playing games. Stop baffling around with yourself. Stop playing these mishaps with your minds. Wrapped up, tied up, tangled up, and twisted up in this world. Lost in pleasures of this world, addictions of this world. But it's time to turn to Jesus. Time is running out. You don't have as much time as you think. As I say many times, we don't know what tomorrow might bring. We don't know where we're going to be. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's in the future. We don't know when our last day is on this earth. But one thing for sure, that day is coming. That day is coming whether you're ready or not. That day is coming whether you're ready to accept it or not. However it is that it's set on us or our time to leave here, it's coming. But the opportunity that we have right now is to choose Jesus. Not just choose church, I'm talking about choosing Jesus. Having, establishing, building a personal relationship with him. Believing him, trusting in him with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your might, with everything you got. In order to do that, you got to turn. You got to repent. You got to turn from your wicked way. He said, "Well, I don't have any wicked. Long you live in this flesh, you have sinful nature. You have wicked ways. Turn." What does that mean, Pastor? That means to allow the Holy Spirit to come in and give you control over this old sinful nature called flesh and its desires. What matter of love is this? What kind of love is this? What kind of love? Have you ever thought about it? What kind of love is this? This man here that came, this God that came and lived and walked as a man and on this earth for the whole world. Do you not realize how many people it is in the world? I'm talking about in the world, all over, in other continents and countries, everywhere, every person, every individual that has ever been born, that's living, walking, and breathing. He gave us life. The world, not just one person, the world. Nobody else can ever or ever be able to do that. Nobody but Jesus. Nobody but God. Nobody but God. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10 says something like this. It says here, again, if you want to keep up with me, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. A sacrifice. A sacrifice. Verse 11 says, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Love one another. Love one another. What manner of love is this? You know what manner of love is this? I'll answer the question for you, and it answers itself. Love ye one another like he loved us. That's what it says here in verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, then we also ought to love one another. Love one another. The requirement for salvation, to live, to make it to heaven, woo, Lord have mercy, is to love you one another. Love one another. Forgive one another. And he said it because Peter asked him, how many times I'm supposed to forgive somebody? Seven times? He said, no, 70 times, seven times. That means don't put a number on it. As many times as it takes, as often as you can, have a godly heart to forgive you one another. And guess what? The more that we love you one another, the less we will have to do a lot of forgiveness because we won't hurt each other. We won't destroy each other. But look at this world today. Look around us. Look around how we're destroying one another. Look around how we're mean to one another. Look around how hateful we are to one another. Look around how selfish we are. Look around how disapproval that God is toward us and the things that we are doing today. Everything is about self. Everything is about what we want, how we want it, when we want it, where we're going and when we're going to get it. And everybody's in a rush, about to run over everybody on the highways and byways, about to kill each other, trying to get from one place to another. And the place they're trying to get to is not going anywhere. In a hurry to do what? To lose your life or to hurt someone else, to cause them to lose their life. What manner of love is this? What manner of love is this? What kind of love is it that desires us to love you one another? A godly love. A godly love, the kind of love that he have for us. How can you expect him to do all the loving and you do nothing? How do we expect for God to give us everything and we give nothing back? How is it that we always whining and mumbling and grumbling and complaining and never satisfied? Never satisfied. Because the flesh is never satisfied. Your very nature is never satisfied. But when you stop, look, and listen, and you realize that in order to live in this world and live this life according to what Jesus has said and how we should live it, then we got to have that forgiving spirit. And we've got to seek ye Jesus, the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness first. He needs to be a high priority in our lives, every day of our life. Number one in our life, at the top, the pinnacle of our lives. Not secondary, not third, and not last. And the more that we would allow the love of Jesus to shed abroad in our hearts, to operate in our lives, then we'll be able to forgive you one another. All this hatred and meanness, bitterness, all this wanting to be better than somebody, neither one of us, none of us are better than the other. We all are of a fleshly nature. We all have blood, sweat, and tears. We all were born out of flesh and blood, out of the dust of the ground. And we all going to go back to that same place. We all have a soul that's going to stand in judgment one day for the deeds done in these bodies. He has given us a dressing room to make ready for his coming back. I don't know about you, but I'm making ready every day with my actions and what I do and what I say, how I treat people. This is how it should be done. This is what Jesus said, the way it should be done. The way it should be done. To love you one another. It saddens me, and it saddens parents and loved ones when they raise their children and go out in the world and somebody all of a sudden just snap, destroys or takes someone's life. Why would you want to take somebody's life? You don't want anyone to take your life. For what reason? For some substance in this world, some materialistic thing in this world, a position in this world, for what? It doesn't last long. You're not going to live on this earth here in this time with this life here forever. You got to pass through this life in order to get to eternal life. And what you do here is what lets you know or how or where you're going to be in the next life. Is it time or are you ready to wake up? Are you time or are you ready and willing to stop saying, oh, you're preaching good, you're talking good, you're doing good. But when are you going to make a step? When are you going to make a choice? When are you going to step up and say, I'm ready to be saved. I'm ready to be born again. I'm ready to change my life. I'm ready to stop hypocriting. I'm ready to stop practicing and pretending as if I got it together and I got it right. I want to be sure. I want to be assured that I have this thing set in place. So when I come to die, that Jesus will accept me and take me in. When are you going to be honest with yourself? When are you going to be honest with yourself? When are you going to stop fooling yourself? When are you going to stop letting the devil fool you? By just attending church. God knows I love church and nothing wrong with attending church. That's the place we're supposed to go and get instruction and give him praise and glorify his name. But when I say attending church, it's going there to say that you went there. But are you going there for a change? Are you going there for a new life? Are you going there to move forward? Are you going there to have a better way of life, to seek Jesus, to glorify his holy name? Is that the reason for you going? Or you're going because mama them made you. Yeah, even though you're young children and young men and young adults growing up, yes, you have a mind to understand what love is. Why do I know that you tried to understand what love is? Because you're always talking about you're in love with some little girl or some young boy, and you don't understand what the meaning of love is. But yet you feel like you're in love. But if you have that much intelligence or intellectuality, to know that much that you think you know about love, then you should know the difference in what I'm talking about, this godly love, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He sacrificed his life so that in this life and after this life, then the life to move forward, that salvation and eternity, there's another place to live eternally that we have to go through Jesus. You got to go through Jesus. It doesn't matter what anybody believe, what they think. The Bible is right. The Word of God is right, and it never changes. It's not going to change just because of what you think. And it's not going to change because you are intelligent. It's not going to change because you went to some elite college. It's not going to change because you went to some elite seminary. It's not going to change because you think you know what you know, but you don't know nothing. None of us know anything unless the Lord allows us to gain the intelligence, the knowledge of what we need to know. Don't know anything. St. John chapter 14 and verse 6 says this. This is what Jesus said. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Do you get that? I mean, do you really get that statement? He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. In other words, I am your director. I am your instructor in giving you directions how to get here where I am to have eternal life. And he says, I'm the way because I tell you the truth. I have no reason to lie to you. Why would I lie to you and I've already given my life for you? That I sacrifice for you because of the love I have for you. Why would I lie to you? Why would I lie to you? So that you might have eternal life, that you may live forever in peace and happiness. You can, if you choose me. If you choose me. He said, no one comes to the Father there. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's no other way. There's no other way to enter the kingdom of God except through Jesus. There's no other way. It doesn't matter what all the false prophets, it doesn't matter what all the false teaching, all the lies, whatever anyone is trying to teach or tell you, this word is still going to be right. These instructions are still going to be correct. And whether you follow them or not, it's still going to take place. Still going to take place. So it's just like north, south, and east and west is still going to be the four corners of the world of direction. Anybody can try to tell you anything any different, come up with anything any better. There's nothing better. That's just what it's going to be. There's a heaven and there is a place called hell, Hades, of destruction or hell or torments. Yes. And it's going to enlarge itself. And it's going to accept all of the ones that haven't lived according to the word of the Lord and his commands. And there's going to be eternal destruction forever. You think you're living great now? You're going to live all right? It doesn't matter what you accumulate on this life, in this life, in this world. None of it's going to mean anything when you're put away in the grave. When you're laid away in that box. When you're planted in the ground, it's not going to mean anything. It's not going to matter how much mama, daddy, sister, brother, auntie, uncle, whoever that's crying is left behind. Won't be able to change it. Can't fix it. Can't go with you. Can't help you. Can't make no decision for you. It's over with now. It'll be over with. It'll be over with. But St. John 14:6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if you back up at the beginning of this chapter here in 14:1, he said, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in me, believe in God. He said, believe also in me. Believe in me. When you believe in God, believe in me. When you believe in me, you believe in God. There's a place that's prepared for you when you believe in me, when you trust and you live for me and you keep my commandments. When you keep my commands. There's no other way about it, brothers and sisters. There's no ifs, ands, buts about it. But this word is coming to you because there's so much killing going on. So many lives being lost, taken away, brutalized. And yet we're talking about, we're Christians, going to church every day. Not touching lives enough, but an urgency where people need, somebody needs some high guidance, some help. Hallelujah. But it's real because it started, and John said it, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend. John was a witness to this light. And he speaks about it here in this book, in this chapter. There was a man that sent from God. Whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe that he was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. This is Jesus. He was in the world was made through him. And the world did not even know him, even after he came and he stood right before their very eyes. He came to his own, and his own did not even receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to believe in his name. Lord have mercy. To believe in his name. Yes. To believe in his name. To believe in his name. Hallelujah. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who become or who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now here's Jesus, that he comes into this world by his word. That the word became flesh, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received the grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Yes, through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God. No one has seen God at any time. Hallelujah. No one. No one has seen him at any time. Hallelujah. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. He has declared him. And then there was a voice in the wilderness. Now this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and the Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? Who are you? And he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am the Christ. I'm the Christ. And they asked him, what then are you, Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? And he answered, no. And then they said to him, who are you? That we may give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord. As the prophet Isaiah had said, now those who were sent were from the Pharisees. And they asked him, saying, why do you baptize if you are not the Christ or Elijah nor the prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who coming after me is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. These things were done in Bethphage beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing unto repentance. Repentance, not unto salvation, but repentance. Hallelujah. And here in the Lamb of God, the final stage. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he. This is he who said, whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. He was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water. John is saying, I don't have the power. And the power is not coming until Jesus shows up. And what I'm saying to you today, the power is not coming until Jesus show up in your life. In your life. When you accept him as your personal savior. You see, you can't go to church enough and get saved. You can go to church enough to hear the word. And the word of God can compel you, to convict you to get saved. There's a difference. See, it's like going to school to get an education. And you have to continue to go until you finish 12 grades. And to graduate and prove that you have gained some understanding of what you learned. And so if you need salvation, Jesus is the answer. If you need deliverance, Jesus is the answer. If you need healing, Jesus is the answer. What manner of love is this? The love of one who would give his life for someone like us. Someone like us. And he gave his life for someone like us. For people like us. Even when we don't deserve it. So why can't we give our lives to him? Why can't we show how much we love him by loving one another? By loving one another, by being kind to one another. By sharing with one another. By helping one another. By depending on each other, leaning on each other, not destroying each other, not with hate, not with bitterness, not with selfishness, and all of this. So many people are concerned about gravitating to gaining stuff in this world. They want to go and hear the man preach, oh, you're going to receive a car, you're going to receive $1 million, you're going to receive this, you're going to receive that. What about receiving salvation? What about receiving healing and deliverance in your life that one day you might be with Jesus? What about that? What about that? What about accepting Jesus as your personal savior? What about realizing that you're not where you ought to be or where you need to be, and that it's time that you get there where you should be? What about that? What about looking in the mirror and being honest with yourself that you're not completely satisfied with who you are, where you are, and what you're doing, and how you're living? In Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 1, here's what he asks us to do, to walk in love. He asks us to walk in love. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 1, therefore be imitators of God. Be imitators of God. As dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. But he said, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you. You see that? Let me pause with the comment there. You see that? Fornication and uncleanness and covetousness, this hatred and bitterness and jealousy, which is causing people to destroy one another. He said, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. There's no inheritance for you. You won't get there. The Bible says this. The Bible says this. Verse 6 says, let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. I mentioned to you earlier about the deceivers I mentioned to you earlier that Satan had cast a camouflage image over people's minds and their eyes and their ears. Verse 8 talks about walking in the light. He says, for you were once in darkness, but now you are in light in the world. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Good God Almighty. Do you hear that word there? I like that. But rather expose them. I'm here to expose the darkness, the camouflage, that blindness, that thing that got your eyes closed shut from seeing the truth. And if you've been listening and hearing someone that make it sound like they're telling the truth, but it's a disguise to cause you to be lost, you need to wake up. You need to tune in to someone you know that's telling the truth. They got your whole soul, heart, and mind at interest. Hallelujah. At interest. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who are asleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. You know what that means? That means, now I've mentioned this one time, some time ago. You might not ever have heard me say it. But when you're lost in darkness, when you're walking in darkness, you're walking dead, you're missing everything. He says, rise from the dead, you're still asleep. You're still asleep. You haven't opened your eyes. And when the Holy Spirit comes and pull that blinder off your eyes when you receive it, and things become clear to you. It comes clear to you to realize, you know what? What was I thinking? Why was I living that way? Why was I treating people like that? Because you were blind. Blind. I ministered a message a long time ago. Eyes wide open, but yet you can't see. Your eyes can be wide open. You can see what's around you and in the world, but you can't see what's spiritually in front of you. You can't see the darkness of Satan that camouflages in you with deception in your life by using the things and all of the other stuff that's in the world. That's what he does. That's what he does. But he says to walk in wisdom. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. That's what we are right now. The days are evil. If you don't have no spiritual discernment, spiritual guidance, spiritual direction, or spiritual leader to give you spiritual instruction, you're going to forever be lost, stumbling around in darkness, trying to find your way. But it's hard to find your way in darkness when you don't have a flashlight. And Jesus is that light. Jesus is that light that we need to find our way through this life. This life that we live here in the world. Jesus is that light. Don't you want that light for your life today? Don't you want that? Don't you need that? Therefore, do not be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, which is a dissipation, but filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Do you hear that? The love. The love. The love. that we need to share to walk in right there. Giving thanks always, always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. By submitting to one another in the fear of God. How do we do that? By loving you one another. When are we going to stop killing each other? When are we going to stop destroying each other? When are we going to stop tearing down each other? When are we going to stop the hate? When are we going to stop the bitterness? When are we going to stop the self-destruction? When are we going to stop being deceived by these devices of the adversary? It's time to wake up now. It's time to wake up and call on the name of the Lord. What manner of love is this? What kind of love is this? What kind of love is this? That a man like Jesus gave his life. And you and I should love each other the same manner. What kind of love is this? A love that cares. A love that shares. A love that forgives. A love that touches. And touches and touches. A love that reunites. A love that brings people together. A love that has a forgiving heart. A love that's kind to one another. A love that's unselfish. We ain't talking about, we're not talking about a lustful kind of love. We're talking about agape love, a godly love. The genuine love of Jesus. And if we're professing to be Christians or believers, to be like him, you can't be like him if you can't love ye on one another. Don't say you're a Christian if you can't love one another. Don't say you're a Christian if you can't forgive one another. Take that tab off. But it is a requirement. It is a requirement to love and forgive. We're going to pray with you as we begin to close. Heavenly Father, help us to love you one another. And we need your spirit to enable us to do that. We can't do that by ourselves. We can't do that all alone. Shower down us with your continued love, grace, and mercy. And your Holy Spirit. That would help us to love you one another, be kind ye to one another, to share with one another, and to forgive one another, so we won't harm each other. Father, we thank you right now. We thank you for this message. And we pray that it would touch heart, change lives, that somebody would step up and be willing to say, I'm ready to change my life for real this time. I'm ready to turn to you. I'm ready to accept you as my personal Savior. That you would be glorified and that I can walk in love the way I'm supposed to. We praise you, Lord. We thank you. Let your Holy Spirit take place, take over right now. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you. We glorify you. We magnify your name. We lift you up. We say amen and amen. Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you because you first loved us. We didn't love you first. You loved us. We didn't choose you first. You chose us. So we thank you for that supreme sacrifice. In Jesus' name, we say amen and amen. God bless you. May the peace of God be with you and the love of Christ be upon you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, Selah. Yes, yes.
You've been listening to the broadcast of Focus to Change Ministries. Please join us next Sunday at 9 o'clock a.m. WONA. And remember, if you make the choice, Jesus will make the change. God bless you.